Knowing why the rules are the rules means we know how to break them intelligently and successfully. But none of this is to say we should disregard what story theorists such as Campbell have discovered. On the contrary, many popular storytelling books contain brilliant insights about narrative and human nature that science has only recently caught up with. I quote a number of their authors in these pages. I'm not even arguing that we should ignore their valuable plot designs. They can easily be used to complement this book. It's really just a question of emphasis. I believe that compelling and unique plots are more likely to emerge from character than from a bullet-pointed list. And the best way to create characters that are rich and true and full of narrative surprise is to find out how characters operate in real life. And that means turning to science. I've tried to write the storytelling book I wish I'd had back when I was working on my novel. I've tried to balance the science of storytelling in such a way that it's of practical use without killing the creative spirit by issuing lists of you musts. I agree with a novelist and teacher of creative writing, John Gardner, who argues that most supposed aesthetic absolutes prove relative under pressure. If you're embarking on a storytelling project, I'd suggest you view what follows not as a series of obligations, but as weapons you can choose if and how to deploy. I've also outlined a practice that's proved successful in my classes over the years. The Sacred Floor approach is a character-first process, an attempt to create a story that mimics the various ways a brain creates a life and which therefore feels true and fresh and comes pre-loaded with potential drama. This book is divided into four chapters, each of which explores a different layer of storytelling. To begin, we'll examine how storytellers and brains create the vivid worlds they exist within. Next, we'll encounter the flawed protagonist at the centre of that world. Then, we'll dive into that person's subconscious, revealing the hidden struggles and wills that make human life so strange and difficult, and the stories we tell about it so profound, compelling, unexpected, and emotional. Finally, we'll be looking at the meaning and purpose of story and taking a fresh look at plots and endings. What follows is an attempt to make sense of what generations of brilliant story theorists have discovered in the face of what equally brilliant women and men in the sciences have come to know. I am infinitely indebted to them all. Chapter 1. Creating a World. Chapter 1.0. Where does a story begin? Well, where does anything begin? At the beginning, of course. All right, then. Charles Foster Kane was born in Little Salem, Colorado, USA, in 1862. His mother was Mary Kane. His father was Thomas Kane. Mary Kane ran a boarding house. It's not working. A birth may be the beginning of a life, and if the brain was a data processor, that's surely where our tale would start. But raw biographical data have little meaning to the storytelling brain. What it desires, what it insists upon in exchange for the rare gift of its attention, is something else. Chapter 1.1. Many stories begin with a moment of unexpected change. And that's how they should continue too. Whether it's a 60-word tabloid piece about a TV star's tiara falling off, or a 350,000-word epic such as Anna Karenina, every story you'll ever hear amounts to something changed. Change is endlessly fascinating to brains. Almost all perception is based on the detection